I think it's perfectly fine to pick up the book and turn to the table of contents and pick out a topic. I start out by talking about the many things that adult children do for their aging parents, because what better guide is there for what we need to plan for ourselves than what adult children are already being tasked with doing?
Welcome to the My Future Business Show, where we get you in front of your best audience and keep you there. Not only are we interviewing the biggest names in business to help you become even more successful, we're inviting you to book your spot on the show to help you grow your business. So at the end of the call, make sure you fill in the interview application form at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. Hi, and welcome back to the My Future Business Show. It's Rick Nusky. I'm your host, and I'd just like to say thank you very much for joining us. Thank you very much for your warm feedback. It is making all of the difference to know that it's making a difference for you. Now, on the show, we're going to be talking with the wonderful Dr. Sarah Geber. How are you, Doctor?
I'm fine. Thank you, Rick.
It's wonderful to have you here. Now, we're going to be focusing on your book, Essential Retirement Planning for Solo Ages. Now, I think before we jump into that, we just spoke about, you know, when we, I guess, enter this experience called life, we don't often think about, you know, that same door that opened will be the same door that closes. And I'd love to talk about your experience with this topic. But before we do that, Sarah, I'd love it if you could share a little bit about yourself with the My Future Business audience.
Sure. I had a very rewarding midlife career as a management consultant, and there came a time at some point, I guess around the year 2005, 2007, something like that, when many of my executive coaching clients started wanting to talk more about their retirement plans than their strategic plans. And I started to see the handwriting on the wall. Baby boomers were starting to get into their late 50s, early 60s, and they started really spending a lot of time thinking about what that phase of their life was going to look like. So I did a career change shortly thereafter and decided that I was going to be a retirement transition coach rather than a leadership coach.
Yeah.
So I made that transition right around the year 2010, 2011, and I've never looked back. I love this field. I initially did a lot of just general retirement coaching for both men and women and sometimes couples. And then I got interested in something I call solo aging, because as I looked around, I noticed that a lot of baby boomers did not have children.
Right.
And I probably noticed this because my husband and I don't have children. And that is going to make a difference when we get into our oldest phase of life.
Yeah.
If you look around you, what you see is most of the very old in our societies, the 80-something, 90-something, and now 100-something, being cared for mostly by their adult children.
Yes.
And the adult children might be extremely involved. They might be involved just a little bit. Some of them live nearby. Some of them don't. But almost everyone I know who had parents that lived into an age where they did need some help were involved in giving them that help. And so those of us who don't have children have to make a plan for ourselves.
Yeah, it's a very important thing to consider. Like I said, that door opens, but we don't necessarily think about it as it's, I guess, slowly closing. And what we're going to do, I wonder, this could be somewhat a very isolating experience for us at a later date if we don't plan for this. So what are some of the things that you're doing with the people that you're working with to, I guess, avoid things, psychological impacts like loneliness and things like that?
Yeah, that's certainly one of the big bugaboos out there about being alone. And of course, some solo agers have a partner and some don't. And actually, the further I got into this and when I started collecting data for writing the book and listening to people's stories, I was being told over and over again that it's not just people that don't have children that are solo agers. There's people that are solo agers for a lot of different reasons. Mm-hmm. They may have kids, but those kids may live 9,000 miles away. We have very mobile societies these days in the Western world.
Yep.
You may have children that you're estranged from, that you just don't see, and or children that, as we say here in the U.S., failed to launch. So there's all kinds of reasons why you might be a solo ager. And of course, a lot of people are aging without partners, and they certainly consider themselves solo agers. So it's become a bigger topic than just people who don't have children. And now that I've said that, I've lost sight of the question, Rick.
No, the fact is that, you know, this is all about positioning yourself for later life, isn't it? This is almost very much akin to this, you know, when you're in business mode, you're strategizing and positioning your business. Now we're positioning our lives. That's how important this is.
Yes, we're strategizing for a later life. And there's really... I think it's sort of like that old three-legged stool that they used to talk about for retirement planning, only it has a different three legs now.
Yeah.
The three legs that I like to focus on are financial planning. Do you have enough money to last you for the rest of your life? And most people find that they need the guidance and the help, at least on a one or two time basis, from a financial planner to make sure that their money is going to last. And if it won't last, then for most people, that means some changes to their lifestyle.
Yes.
So making that kind of assessment as early as possible is very important.
Yep.
And when I say as early as possible, making that assessment in your late 50s or your 60s is great. Doing it in your 70s, yeah, you're a little late to the game. And any time after that, you're kind of taking your chances. So,
yes.
So do that early on. And another leg of the stool, the second leg, is the legal leg. Do you have the necessary paperwork finished for, well, when I say finished, I mean, do you have a current version of your will?
Yeah.
Your advance directive for how you want to be cared for in your latest life, and I mean just before death.
Yeah.
How you want your money dealt with, that becomes a generally naming a power of someone to have your power of attorney. For health care and for finances. So you want to have a discussion with an attorney in order to put that in motion and have it there in for the time at which you need it. And we don't know when we're going to need it.
No.
Sometimes we need it in a hurry. Sometimes things happen like a heart attack or a stroke, and we need somebody else to make decisions for us. Sometimes it happens more gradually. You may get a cancer diagnosis you may have some other kind of condition that you're managing, like diabetes. Mm-hmm. You get a little more warning that way that you're getting into territory where you may need someone to help you.
Yeah.
And then the third leg of that stool, and to me, really the most important leg, is your social network.
Absolutely.
Have you had the necessary discussions with the people that you're close to? And this goes for everyone, not just solo agers. This really is for everyone on the planet to make sure that the people that they love and the people that love them have an understanding of what you want later in life. And building and nurturing that social network is job one when you're in the retirement phase of life.
Yes, absolutely. This is some sage advice. Thank you so much for sharing it with us. Now, I wonder, you know, this could be quite confronting for those who are, I guess, enveloped in fear about this. What do you do to help people through this thought process?
You know, there's no one way for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Some people find their way through the fear of death through talking about it. Some people find it through their church or synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
Some people find it through psychedelics. There's just so many different ways that people confront and work through their fear of death. Now, it's interesting to note that if you talk to hospice workers or people that are with the dying on a day in and day out basis, in general, they'll tell you that when people know they're dying, and many people have time to assimilate and get used to the idea that their life is going to end. And, you know, we're all going to die. Everyone,
It's
nobody
inevitable.
gets out of here alive.
That's the only thing you can guarantee, isn't it?
Exactly. So it's just a matter of when. And so to be thinking about it and acknowledging that we are all mortal is, I think, a very important part of life. Some cultures do this automatically. They do it throughout life. More of the indigenous cultures have no problem with death. People that are very devoutly religious often have no problem with death.
And
But, you
you
know,
often see them celebrating it, don't you?
yes, absolutely.
I
It's a
think that's wonderful.
passage.
Yes,
It's
absolutely.
one of the passages.
Now you do some professional speaking, in fact, a lot of professional speaking by the looks of your web pages. You've had a lot of engagements.
I do.
Did speaking about something that you're passionate about come naturally to you?
Yes, in a way it did. I've never had a fear of speaking to groups, large or small. And then I spent most of my career, as I said, in management consulting. But what that really came down to in terms of what I did was a lot of leadership development. And that meant I was teaching. I was teaching people the principles of good leadership, the principles of effective communication. So I've really been doing it all my professional life.
Yeah, it just becomes second nature to you if you're doing it so often.
It does, and I so enjoy it because I believe that in terms of solo aging, I have an important message for people, and I can reach more people that way than I can on the one in the one-on-one coaching.
Yeah, it's a calling. It must be. You know, I wonder how it felt for you, and if you could share that first time that you worked with somebody, you talked about this, and I guess some of the outcomes that you've had working with clients.
Well, that's an interesting question, Rick, because I know when I first started talking to people about solo aging, and again, I coined that term, and I'm very happy to see it come into much more common use now. I
Mainstream.
hear people using it. I see it in the journals and all of the writing about aging. So I'm very happy about that. I don't have any proprietary
Intent.
connection with it. But I think it's a good term to use for
Absolutely.
people who are aging alone, and especially those who don't have kids. So, yeah, when I first started talking about it, people would look at me and go, you're right. It's the adult children that take care of their aging parents. What are we going to do? So I was raising awareness kind of on a onesie and twosie basis, and that's what made me realize I needed to go further with this. I needed to put a book out. I needed to start talking about it. So that's really how it happened.
Yep. So when you say initially it was ones and twos, and now you've gone, I guess, one too many, are you delivering not only face to face, are you doing it online as well?
I am, when people ask me to, I have done some webinars for the American Society on Aging. I've done some for the groups of financial planners. I've done some for groups of realtors. So from time to time, I do webinars. But, you know, right now, I mean, I assume that most of the people listening to this are listening to it in early 2020. And we're all doing what's known as sheltering in place at the
Oh,
moment.
yes, aren't we just?
In most countries of the world, we're all in that together. So I am actually planning on using some of my time to develop my own webinars that I can offer to groups that are interested in featuring me and featuring solo aging as a topic for a online conference.
Absolutely. I think it'd be a wonderful platform for those who are interested. We're certainly all aging now. Do you find writing as natural as you do speaking, or was it a different experience for you?
I do love to write, and I now that I'm done with the book and it's been out there for a couple years now, I also write a blog for Forbes.com,
Yes, I noticed that.
and so I have to write. They expect at least two posts every month. This month I will have many more than two. But they in general, they expect somewhere between two and five posts a month from their regular contributors, those of us who have a page in Forbes.com, in the Forbes.com website. So it forces me to write pretty frequently, and I do enjoy it. I enjoy that process too. Compare the two, I enjoy speaking more.
Yes, right. So, and with your book, I guess essentially you would have found that process as enjoyable writing the book. Tell us a little bit about that
I
journey.
did. I'm one of these rare people that actually enjoyed writing their doctoral dissertation. So,
Yes.
I think it's, from what I can tell, I'm a rare bird in that regard. But I did enjoy writing the book tremendously. I enjoyed the research. I enjoyed the interviewing, the stories that people told me, and putting it together was kind of like putting a puzzle together. How do you do it in such a way that it's meaningful for people?
Yes, your academic rigor is obviously front and center, I'm sure. Now, I'm looking at some of the elements inside your book. I'm wondering if we can, I guess, talk about them in some more detail. Where
Sure.
is this a book that you read from cover to cover, or is it more like a guide? How do you consume this book?
You know, that's a great question. I think it's perfectly fine to pick up the book and turn to the table of contents and pick out a topic that you're interested in and just go there. It doesn't build like a novel by any stretch of the imagination. I start out by talking about the many things that adult children do for their aging parents, because what better guide is there for what we need to plan for ourselves than what adult children are already being tasked with doing. So I start there, but if you're more interested in your choices for where to live, or there's one chapter on moving beyond the borders of the US where I am, and there's kind of a little bit of everything in there, so it's perfectly fine to jump around and read the chapters that interest you.
Yeah, I'd love to know a little bit more detail about what the content is. Is there any sort of like a checklist that somebody can utilize from this book about, I'm now 50. I guess 50 would be a trigger age for many people to go, you know what? If I look at the demographics and where I'm at in the middle of that, I'm halfway there. Is now the time? And what sort of questions do I start to ask myself?
Well, there is a checklist in the back of the book, a kind of a general overall checklist. But throughout the book, there are a number of worksheets and quizzes, and various tools to help you kind of get an assessment of where you are with regard to certain things. There's a very long checklist for people who are kind of in a quandary about where do I want to live during my retirement years. There's also a very popular checklist, because these checklists are also on my website and people can just email me and ask for them. There's a very popular one called the Change and Adaptability Quiz. And a number of others. I think they're part of the charm of the book and the thing in the book that people like the most.
Yes, absolutely. And that's easy to consume, and that's right now. And one of the other things I suspect it would be, Sarah, is compassionate. Is what's the sort of tone inside the book that people can expect to find?
I think it's very upbeat. Certainly, when people pick up books on retirement and aging, they may be a little fearful that the tone may be kind of dark and foreboding, and be careful of this, watch out for that. You might get scammed. You might get, who knows? But I've tried to keep the tone very upbeat and positive, because it can be a very wonderful, rewarding time of life.
Absolutely.
And And I think we'd be remiss to not say that retirement is very different for the baby boom generation than it was for any previous generation. First of all, a lot of previous generations didn't even live this long.
Yes.
So we are a generation that once you've crossed that age 50 line, as you're doing, Rick, you've got possibly another 50 years to live. And if you decide to make a shift at age 60 or 65 or anywhere around there and do something different, notice I didn't say retire,
Yes.
you may have another 20, 30 years to go. So most people are not doing what we would have thought of 20 years ago as a classic retirement.
Yes.
They're moving on to something else that's rewarding to them, whether it's an income-producing occupation or it's volunteering for a cause that you've believed in for a long time, or it's digging into that woodworking shop that you've been building for years and just don't seem to ever get to. So there are so many hundreds and hundreds of things that people are finding to do in this period of life that we call retirement, but for most people, it's anything but retiring.
Yeah, that's some great insight. Now, one of the things that really come to the fore for me when you talked about the word retirement is that as human beings, we are goal setters. That retirement, word retirement, almost suggests that it's the end, where in actual fact, we need to, I guess, re-envelope that idea and say, well, continue to goal set, continue to plan for things in the future. Does this form a big part of your programs?
Does. I don't harp on that too much.
Right.
We all got hammered quite a bit in our careers about setting goals and meeting goals, and maybe you got hammered on it by an employer. This is also a time to enjoy, a time to relax. And if you just thrive on making goals for yourself and getting up on New Year's morning and saying, now this year I have these resolutions and I'm gonna go forth and study yoga and I'm gonna take this class and I'm gonna learn how to do X and that's fine if that's what turns you on. If a more casual, easy flowing life is more appealing to you, that's okay too. Different strokes for different folks.
Absolutely. I wonder if you have ever met an old head on young shoulders and they've been thinking about this well in advance of the age, say, 50, like 40, 35. And if
Yes.
you have, what are some of the things they're saying and considering for their future?
I haven't personally met a lot of those folks. I'm trying to think whether I've met any.
Yes,
I've
that'd be
read
the
stories
exception.
about them. I know they exist. And I lived and worked for most of my career in Silicon Valley.
Right.
So there you have a lot of people who were financially well able to retire in their 40s. They had made millions of dollars. Some did, some didn't. I actually know a couple that fully retired and moved to the California desert, Palm Springs area, and they just play golf. That's fine. No judgment, but most people are not happy with that kind of life.
Yeah, you need to do
So
something, don't you?
yeah, I most people do. Now, that's not everyone. I have known a few people who honestly insist, and I have to believe them, that they're happy with a life of leisure. And that's fine. It just so happens that most of us don't seem to be.
No, absolutely. Now, I'd like to, I guess, shift gears a little bit, if we could, Sarah, to the process that you will take people through, be it as a speaker or as a client, so that they can get the most out of their experience with you. Could you share a little bit about that?
Sure. It's very different. I mean, as a speaker, I hope to enlighten people, to teach them something. I hope to motivate people, to get them to take some action and do some planning. the people I often speak to are others who work with older adults. So I speak to groups of estate attorneys and elder law attorneys and financial planners and CPAs. I speak to all kinds of different groups. So my talks are unique to them. In terms of coaching, which I don't do a lot of anymore, but when I was doing coaching, I generally take people through a process that involves, it's very customized, it's very personalized to each individual, but it always involved a number of assessments so that they could really kind of do a values assessment for themselves. It actually, in practice, looks a lot like what many people went through when they were in college, trying to figure out what the right career was for them.
Yes.
So career coaching or career development and transition coaching with retirement time period in mind, in some ways, look similar.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of taking a look and assessing what you do well, what you like to do, and what you believe in.
Yeah.
Those three, if you take a long inward look at those three things, I have no doubt that you will find something meaningful to do in your later years.
Yeah, thank you. I wonder, should people be reassessing every couple of years once they've set out a plan? Every couple of years if things are changing?
Oh, gosh. You know, it's such a personal question. Some people start off in after they leave their midlife career. Some people start off like a house on fire, wanting to volunteer here and volunteer there. And
yep.
And then they realize that they're still spinning their wheels the way they used to for 25 years at work.
Yep.
And sometimes that's... they go, well, no, wait a minute now. I'm not relaxing. I'm not really treating myself very well.
Mm-hmm.
I need to slow down. So that's not an uncommon thing.
Mm-hmm.
I also see people who start slow. And I think that's probably the better way to do it. Just relax for a while, do the assessments, try a few things, realize that you're, even if you have a favorite nonprofit, they're not going to invite you in to be their new CFO right away. You probably need to sweep the floors for a few months and let them know that that you're interested and that you're serious and you're committed. So it's very, very individual.
As you said before, it's very much horses for courses, isn't it? It's not one shoe will fit all feet.
Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah. It's... everybody's retirement is individual.
Absolutely. Now, thank you very much for sharing some of this wonderful content. I'm sure there's barrel loads more that we could talk about. Now, importantly, when people want to find your book, where are they going to find it?
They're going to find it on Amazon.
Fantastic.
Or any of the other online booksellers.
Okay.
But of course, Amazon is the
place to be.
The giant.
Yeah. If you're not there, where are you?
Barnes and Noble online has it. My publisher, Mango Press, also sells it. But I have to say, Amazon usually has the best price on it.
Fantastic. Well, look, everybody who's on the call today, the name of that book is Essential Retirement Planning for Solo Ages. And if you want to reach out to Sarah, where are they going to find? Where is your website?
My website is... you can get there two ways, through my name, sarahzefgeber.com, or at lifeencore.com.
Fantastic.
Well, and I want to add that the book is available not just as a paperback, but also as an Audible and as an ebook.
Yeah, that's fantastic because a lot of people are on the move, aren't they? Quite busy. And,
yeah.
You know, it's easier to listen than it is to read and focus on a book. Well, look,
It
everybody's
is.
on the call today. You can see just how important this topic is as we go through life. If you're, in the middle of it, middle of your journey, stop and think about this and reach out to Sarah at the links that I will make available below this post. No matter where you find this interview, there will be URL links back to Sarah and her wonderful work. Sarah, thank you so very much for spending some time with me on the My Future Business Show today.
Thank you, Rick. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the call, then make sure to subscribe, leave a comment, share us with your friends, and book your spot on the show at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. And if you're looking for solutions that will help grow your business, then visit myfuturebusiness.com/shop.